And you are listening to WSHA 88.9 FM. We're in the second hour of Straight No Chaser. Susan Reeves with you here until midnight. And as I promised, we have a very special guest with us and have called him from New York in Queens, I believe. And on the phone is the composer and player himself, Mr. Frank Kimbrough.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fabulously. WSHA. So, Frank, so glad to have you tune in, and want to remind people that although you are in New York at this time, you originally grew up in Roxborough and were at UNC campus for a little while. But how long have you lived in New York now?
I think this fall coming up, it'll be 28 years, which is hard to believe. But
where did that time go?
I'm telling you.
Well, you've certainly done an awful lot in those 28 years.
Yeah, it went into a lot of music, I guess.
I think it
That's where it's gone. Things have been quite busy lately, and it's been very, very good. It's hard to believe that almost 28 years ago, I moved here with, I think, $300 and zero prospects. So, things have actually worked out not so badly. I'm really, you know, I love New York, and I love being a part of this amazing, vibrant scene here. I'm sure I know you're going to be talking to Matt in a little while, and he and I are great buddies, and we see each other. Well, actually, we just played together, I think it was last weekend, You'll have a ball talking to him too. He's hilarious, by the way.
Yes, he is.
I'm sure you already know, but yeah, he's always a lot of fun. But things have been very busy, and I'm just really happy. I was actually down there about a month ago.
Yes, I was going to say you were just here in North Carolina. You were in Roxborough and Boone and Charlotte, along with Ron Brendel and Al Sergel.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Ron and I go back. We both went to Appalachian State University in the mid-70s. I met Ron in, I think, 75, was it? I think 75, in the fall, yeah, because I went to school there, and Ron was there, and we've been playing together ever since.
North Carolina connections, they didn't go away.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of times when you connect with someone early on, that connection never really goes away. I mean, you could go 20 years without seeing the person, and you go on a bandstand, and it's going to be like, yes, you know, it'd be like 20 years would disappear in an instant.
Mm.
So that's a beautiful thing about music and about long-standing friendships. That's something that I try to impress on my students now, that the people they're playing with now in a class, they may be playing with 40 years down the road, so be nice to them.
Good lessons in beyond the music things. The teachers are, it's important for those things to be passed along too.
Yeah,
you know, I have a whole stack of CDs that I brought with me, Frank, that you're on. Some of them here are your dates, as they say, and others,
mm-hmm.
including one of the Ron Brendel CDs. But you have such a wonderful discography here. The one we just played from, Lulla Blue By, being your release out on Palmetto. Another one that is probably the most recent one that I have of yours is another one that you sent as a special premium for our callers to be able to grab, and that's your CD called Air, which is
the solo
piano out on Palmetto Records in 2007. That CD, Frank, has some just exquisite things on it. The space, as is the name of the CD, with simply the name Air, the space that you leave and the statements that it makes as much as the notes. I think that CD really captures that concept of your playing the best, perhaps.
Well, thank you. It's funny because, you know, when I was when I was a much younger person, when I was playing Monday nights at the Cat's Cradle in Chapel Hill back in 1979 or 1980, I used to play a lot more notes. And I think as I grew older, and partly as a result of having a three-year-long bout with a reactive arthritis that I had for a while,
wow,
which thankfully I no longer have, I learned the value of brevity. And it's funny because after I got over this bout with arthritis, I never sort of went back to playing the way I played before, because I really came to value it, you know, the letting the notes ring in the air sometimes and not playing so much stuff, you know.
Hmm.
Some of my mentors were also known for their amazing use of space, you know, the people that sort of, well, they weren't necessarily teachers, but they were people that I spent a lot of time with and hung out with, and
who
loved their music.
Who would that be?
Well, Shirley Horn was one.
Mm. Talk about the ultimate of leaving space.
Yes, and Paul Blay is another,
mm-hmm.
Who's also, very, very spacious in his playing. And Andrew Hill,
yes,
who actually died 2 years ago today.
Oh, wow.
And I've missed him very much.
Yeah.
A great, great, great pianist and composer and a great friend.
Hmm. Hmm. I wonder if you tell maybe a little bit about the recording of Air and how it ended up on the CD. Was it originally intended to be that way?
Well, actually, and I think I go into this somewhat in the liner notes of the CD, perhaps. It wasn't intended to be a CD. The first session that we had came about because the owner of the label, who's also the engineer, he has a studio out in the country in Pennsylvania in a barn that was built in, I don't know, 1800 or something like that.
So that's very Maggie's farm from Matt Balotaris.
Yes, so he has this beautiful barn out there that he turned into a studio. And he has this beautiful old, like 100-year-old Steinway piano out there. And he'd had some work done on it. And he had recently acquired some new microphones. And he wanted to just see how the piano sounded, see how the mics sounded, these new mics. And we were talking one day on the phone, and I said, look, you know, I can get on the bus, and I can be out there in an hour and a half. So I got on the bus a couple of days later, and I went out there, and he met me, and we just set things up, it was very casual, because nobody was thinking in terms of a record. We were just thinking about just playing and having a good time and trying some different mic placements and so forth and so on. So there was no pressure whatsoever. And it was just a couple of guys hanging out for an afternoon. And I came back and listened to the tapes, and I thought, yeah, you know, not bad. Turned out pretty nice. And then next thing I knew, 3 years had passed. And I had, pretty much forgotten about the session. And he called one day and asked me if I'd heard the stuff. And I said, yeah, but it's been a couple of years. So he said, well, go back and listen to it, because I was just listening to it, and I think it sounds really good, and I'm thinking maybe we should make a solo record. Which was actually the last thing in the world that I expected that label to do. Primarily because most of the projects they do are, you know, they're trios, they're quartets, things like that. So I was delighted. And I went and, you know, listened back to the stuff, and I found the stuff that I liked the best from this session. And then we agreed we'd do another session and do some more stuff, and then we'd take what we liked from the two sessions, put it together, make a record. So that's what we did.
Wow, that's great.
And yeah, it was really fun. You know, Matt's a great guy, and he's a Southern boy too. So he grew up in Chattanooga.
Ah.
You know, so when we get together, we're very at home with each other. You know, very comfortable dealing with each other, and occasionally we'll say something that'll kind of, you know, one of us will say something that amuses the other, some southern colloquialism or something that neither one of us has heard for 20, 30 years, you know. So we have a great time hanging out. And so the record turned out quite well, I think. And I kind of wanted to make it a homespun project in a way. So I took the cover I took the photo that's on the cover.
Oh, you did?
I did. And I wrote the liner notes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we put this thing together and got it out there. And it's gotten a great response. And the one odd thing about it is that this record is not... It was never distributed to record stores. The only way you can get it is to go to the Palmetto Records website,
oh,
or to get it from, you know, I think there's a couple of places online where you can get it.
We're talking with pianist and composer Frank Kimbrough about his music and his times here in North Carolina and in New York City, and his collaborations with all kinds of people, including the Herbie Nichols Project, the Maria Schneider Orchestra, playing with various other instrumentalists like Michael Blake and Matt Wilson, of course, and the list goes on. We'll get to a few more of those people, but one of my favorites, actually there's many favorites, but one of the ones I thought would be fun to play this evening is The Spins.
Ah, yeah.
Any stories about that before we go to that?
Not really any stories about it so much, but you know, it's funny because, you know, as a composer and having been composing for, you know, a long time now, you find you'll write a tune and sometimes it takes a while before the personality of the tune to come out. And I wrote this tune, I think, probably back in the 80s, and it didn't really get recorded until, oh gosh, I don't even know when. But it may have been, you know, sitting there for 10 years before I even recorded it.
I know it's
on... And
it's
turned out to be a tune that people really like, you know.
Yeah, it's on Numina or Numina? How do
it's
you say
on
that?
Numina, yeah. That's,
Numina,
that's,
oh, thank you for Numina. Helping me with that.
Yeah, it's on that record, and it's also on, I think we recorded it with Paul Motion, too. It's on the Play record,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Which was the record that followed Lella Blue By.
Yes, it sure
Palmetto.
Is.
Cut and then I did it again. I did it again on the solo record. So now we have three different versions of the tune on record, and they're all a little different because one's with a quartet, one's with a trio, and one's solo.
Wow. Well, that's great. Yeah. So we're going to listen to Frank Kimbrough's "The Spins" right after this message. And you're listening to WSHA 88.9 FM. If you just tuned in, we are listening to the music of Frank Kimbrough, along with Frank himself on the line. That was
right,
just...
We're still here.
You're still here, yes.
Still
and
here.
That was the song called The Spins, which was featured from Frank's 2007 release out on Palmetto Records called Air. Frank, that was wonderful. As I said, I just really have enjoyed that CD very much.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to mention, as we started to talk about just before the break, you work with so many other folks and enhance the music of many other players as well, including the Maria Schneider Orchestra. You were down here in the Triangle with her, I guess it's been about a year? It was April of last year, wasn't it?
And, I think it was 2 years ago,
has
actually.
It been 2 years
ago? We were
ago?
At Duke.
Yeah. Wow.
We were Paige.
How time flies.
I think that was 2 years ago, yeah.
That, I know, has been a very important involvement for you. I wondered if you'd talk about working with that band.
Well, it's I consider working with that band to be one of the great cosmic gifts that I've received in my lifetime, because I didn't know Maria at all. I didn't know who she was, nothing. And a mutual friend gave her my number. And this goes back to 1993. And she gave me a call one day, and I wasn't so sure that I wanted to play in a big band. I was, because, you know, my main interest really has been playing in smaller groups where improvisation, you know, where improvisation is more the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't so sure I wanted to do this. And she brought me a folio with, it had a cassette. This is, you know, this was back before she had any records out. She brought me a cassette with some music and a few of the charts. And I just remember coming home one night. She dropped it off. I was playing a gig. It was very late at night. She dropped it off at the door of the club. And as I left, they gave me this package. And I got home. It must have been 2 o'clock in the morning. And I put this the cassette on and was just dumbfounded and awestruck by the beauty of this music. And so, needless to say, I set my alarm and got up early the next morning and called her before, because I knew if it was that good, somebody else was going to get the gig, you know, if I didn't hurry up. So I called her, and we started playing, I guess, maybe a couple weeks later. We had one rehearsal. I remember the rehearsal like it was yesterday, because I was terrified, because there was a lot of music to read, and I was playing. I looked at the band, and the band was some of the best players in New York, so... You know, we started this gig. It was we started playing at this little club in the village called Visiones, and it was a 17-piece band. We played every Monday night. It started out as 2 months of Mondays, but it actually stretched out to 5 years of Mondays.
Mm.
So we did, you know, 250 gigs there over the course of 5 years, and then the club closed and work was sort of sporadic, and it's still sort of sporadic, but. You know, that band has taken me all over the world. We've played, I think the first gig I did with her outside the country was in Macau, which is about an hour from Hong Kong. And we've played all over Europe. We've played in Brazil. We've played all over the U.S. And it's just been an amazing experience, because her writing is great, and her, you know, her generosity of spirit is really an amazing thing.
Mm.
Just a very generous, down-to-earth person, and there's no, you know, sometimes you have people that have some measure of success like that, and they can be very pretentious and weird and a drag to be around, and she is the antithesis of that. She's a joy to be around. She loves all the guys that play in her band and appreciates us and takes our strong points into account when she's writing for the band. So, you know, I just got an email from her a couple of days ago. She said, you know, I'm working on a new piece, and you know, it's going to feature your thing, you know. So as she's writing, she's thinking about things that I liked, you know, the way I play, and that's really a wonderful thing. I think that since I joined the band in 93, there have been maybe 5 or 6 personnel changes, but a lot of the guys in the band are still there from that very first gig, because nobody wants to leave that band. It's just incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's always
quite a testimony.
Something. Yeah, and the care and that she puts into making her CDs is something I've never experienced anything like it.
Hmm.
When we go into the studio, we usually do a record in 3 days, maybe 4. But I'm talking 10 in the morning till 2 in the morning kind of days, you know. And then she'll spend 30 days mixing it to make sure every part is just right in the mix, you know, so that it sounds perfect. There are very few people in the world that give even their own music that kind of attention and that kind of care.
That's wonderful.
So it's great. We've been playing a lot this year, actually, going out. And we played in Pennsylvania, you know, out in western Pennsylvania. We played in Chicago. We played in Princeton not long ago. And we always do our two-week residency at the Jazz Standard every Thanksgiving week. So we'll be back there in November doing that. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So before we conclude things here, we are doing our spring fundraiser here at WSHA. I want to remind people that they can give us a call at 1-800-241-0421 and make your pledge of support to the station and pick up a Frank Kimbrough CD. And Frank,
that support is so important, because people like myself, our music isn't necessarily played on big commercial stations. We rely a lot on college stations, on public radio to get our music out there. Without that, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere. And so many of these big stations, they play the same stuff, and they play, you know, pop stuff, and it's all calculated, and it's all...
It's commercial.
It's very commercial, and to have a station like WSHA in North Carolina, I wish there had been a station like that when I was coming up, because there really wasn't, at least not that I know of. You know, when I was, like, back in the 70s, when I was in high school, something like that, because, you know, people can hear music that they maybe wouldn't ever hear otherwise, and they might get turned on to something that's very meaningful to them. Case in point, I know you played that trio cut, Karna Kanji, from the Herbie Nichols Project,
oh, yeah,
Strange City record, a little while ago.
Yes.
And if not for public radio, the Herbie Nichols Project probably would never have existed, because it was on a public radio station on Herbie Nichols' birthday, playing 3 hours of his music that turned me on to Herbie Nichols in the first place. And that begat a search on my part, and which grew to include several other people, transcribing Herbie's tunes and sort of helping, along with some other musicians completely unrelated to us, who actually brought Herbie's music back into, you know, any kind of people even knowing about it. Because this guy only lived to be 44, and he died broke, and he only made 3-4 records his whole life, and all those records were out of print. And I heard him one day on this public station and taped the show and started transcribing his tunes and showing them to my friends, who then also loved him and started transcribing more of them, and, you know, all of that just because...
Public radio.
Of public radio.
There you go.
It's very, very important. You know, in Europe, all the stations are owned by the government, and they have, you know, they're heavily subsidized. A lot of them even have their own jazz orchestras or what have you. You know, they employ a lot of people, and it's not that way here. You have commercial radio, you know, where they're selling ads and all that, and then you have public radio that's listener-supported, and that listener support is just, you know, people don't even know how important it is. And with the current economic situation being what it is, you know, it's a little harder. You have to dig a little deeper. But that makes it all the more important, because when we have a situation like we're in now, the government is even less likely to be able to subsidize public radio.
Well, Frank, it has been a great, great pleasure to talk with you this evening, and I
it's
so appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure on this end, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to the next CD. Make sure you keep us posted about that, because we'll definitely be playing it here on our station.
Well, great.
That music's wonderful, and of course, we never forget that North Carolina Triangle connection.
Well, thank you so much. Fantastic.
Here's another tune from Lola Blue Bye. Let's listen to Ben's tune. Matt Wilson, Frank Kimbrough, and Ben Allison. Thanks again, Frank.
Okay, you take good care.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye.